You are listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Films. For more, visit our website at www.megiddofilms.org.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 7th of March, 2015. Thank you all for tuning in. On this week's show, I'm going to be dealing with the Inquisition. The Inquisition, the atrocities of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, what led me to dealing with this topic today is the fact that many evangelicals today, sadly, are downplaying the numbers that have been murdered by the Roman Catholic Church. I especially think it's important because, how would I put it? Because it is recorded in the pages of Scripture. Now, I have done shows before in Revelation 12. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Revelation 12. I love studying it. I was asked by Iron Reformed Baptist Church. I was there on Wednesday night, and I preached on the passage, and I just try to take practical applications from the passage and, you know, to preach from it. And what I hope to do today is going to be quite different. But suffice to say that the persecution of the church, the murdering and the pillaging and sometimes raping and slander that has gone against our brethren in Christ across the centuries. Now, there has been, one of the main reasons I'm covering this issue today is because of some comments that were made recently in the last few weeks by Todd Friel. Todd Friel is known for Wretched Radio. He became popular a number of years ago because of his, what's the name? Oh, Way of the Master. Yeah, he was on Way of the Master. Almost forgot the name of that radio show. I mean, I've listened to Todd Friel over different periods of time. I find his show, and I know he kind of goes on the kind of more satire element of things, but I think that's often the problem with a lot of quote-unquote reformed websites, radio shows. It's jokes, constant memes, and then when you want to cover something serious like the Inquisition, you want people to take you seriously. And I mean, I've no doubt that Todd is sincere what he does, but I mean, he should really, really be careful in this area, because this is the killing by the Roman Catholic Church state, it's both a church and a state, of millions of our brethren. Now, there's different numbers quoted throughout history, and I'll get into the different kind of debates that have been going on. Brandon House and his Worldview Weekend radio show has been covering a lot of these issues, so if you want to hear, there's a couple of, I don't know how many other people have been dealing with the issue. I think maybe some other people on that network have been talking about this. And so Brandon House has been talking about that recently. Actually, he also had Richard Bennett, who's a good friend of mine, on his show. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. And that's a very interesting show. I mean, and also a lot of Richard Bennett's DVDs, freeandbeacon.org. You can watch a lot of things. He's got a DVD, which is online as well, for free to watch, on the Inquisition. There's lots and lots of materials out there. Now, anyway, Brandon House has been kind of dealing with some of the comments made by Todd Friel. Now, if anybody hasn't heard it, I'm going to play the clips from Todd Friel's show in a minute, where he claims that only 3,000 were killed during the Spanish, not the Spanish, but the Inquisition. That, now I'll have to play the clip in a bit just to show the context in which he was dealing with, but it's systematic of modern evangelicalism, which is kind of almost seeking... I don't want to make this personal about him. I really don't. I wanted this to be as edifying as possible, and pray for him and pray for anybody else. As in, we need to understand the dangers of Rome. Rome is identified positively, and this is rejected by and large, in Revelation 17 and 18. Rome is that harlot, scarlet, that woman that rides the beast. Now, I've dealt with that in other shows, and I won't go into that here. It is the false church, the apostate church. It was a church around, you could say, maybe the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, and then there's different views on when exactly Rome was broken off from the visible church. I mean, the very latest, you could really say, is the Council of Trent, which was the counter-reformation council spearheaded by the Jesuits, which took place, I believe, over 18 years, from the 1540s to about the 1560s. I think it was 1545 to 1563. About that time, anyway. So you have... That's when some people will say that that's when Rome formally was... It was already apostate, but then was really just removed from the visible church. It's why... People from that point on, especially, you know, rejected Rome's baptism at all, you know. But that's a different issue. Now, I think what we should do is we're going to play a clip. This is from a number of weeks ago on Todd Friel's show. And he's talking about President Obama's comments on the Crusades, Inquisitions. Basically, Christians should be saying nothing. Now, what should be said is the Crusades was not... what Christians were doing. This was done by the popes, and often against Christian groups, such as the Albigensians in the south of France, who were massacred, Albigensians coming from the small town of Albi in the south of France, and they were called different titles, the Vaudois, the Waldensians in northern Italy, they were called after Peter Waldo, but suffice to say, that's what we should be saying. The Crusades... Okay, there was some fighting back and forth with the Muslims. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But if we want to say, oh, okay, we don't have anything to... Christians were murdered and brutally wiped out during the Crusades. But we'll get into this now. This is Todd Friel commenting on President Obama's comments.
Wait, did I mention this is Wretched Radio? Just because the subject of the Crusades and the Inquisitions... courtesy of our president, have been on the brain, it seems that we would do well to remember true history and the new interpretive narrative. Ridley Scott, Kingdom of Heaven, Monty Python, been riffing on it, and probably the greatest popularizer, Mel Brooks, singing about the Inquisition, what a show. My favorite line from that, on and on, I think it was choreographed by Gordon Lightfoot. It just... was like a beating, and it wouldn't end. And then they
I don't know. The synchronized swimming was a time for the ages.
Was it
laugh for the ages?
No, the Mel Brooks tune. They played something at the start, and they were laughing and joking. I mean, this isn't a major problem I have with Todd Friel. He needs to get serious. If you're going to deal with something like an Inquisition or something like that, I mean, if you want to be talking silliness on your radio show, well, okay, we'll stay away from serious topics. And if we're going to be talking about the Bible or Scripture, we need to get serious. Now, I do realize at times that Todd gets serious, but not often enough.
Was it, or it just went on?
Well, dude, when you grow up Catholic and it's the nuns flipping into bathing suits doing synchronized swimming, it was sort of funny.
Amusing, perhaps, but it's just a little overdone.
It wasn't his best effort.
It was a good hook, I guess. Was it History of the World Part 1? My favorite, of course, is when he insists that you Muslims and Jews, you better change your views. Wrong. The Inquisitions, you may recall, started about the 12th century. They were theological. This is imperative that we remember this because this is pithy. And it's a way to let people know that the Inquisitions were not conversion tactics. It's not like people were running around the streets going, so... if there's anybody here who isn't Roman Catholic, gotcha! And then they brought him onto the rack. and stretched them until they said a Hail Mary. That was not the way that it worked. The Roman Catholic Church, and even to a much slighter degree, but just the same, the Anglican Church, willing to put people like John Bunyan in jail.
Well, there's no comparison between it. I'm not denying that there was some Episcopalian kind of persecution and suppression done against, even against groups of Presbyterians in the United Kingdom. But this whole idea that, you know, he's saying, oh, theological, that it's not Rome was going out as a conversion tactic, etc. and so on. I don't know, where do you begin with, where is he getting his history? Now, he later on, in another show we'll deal with in a bit, quotes from Nathan Bucinich, who is a professor of history in the Master's Seminary, which is John MacArthur's seminary. He's the president of that college. But where is he getting his modern scholarship? This is the problem I have with modern studies of history. It's we're studying something, say, from the 12th century. And then what do people do? They read books from, oh, I don't know, the last 20 years. Some of the quotations from, I'm going to look at them in a bit, Lord willing, if I have time in this show, Nathan Bucinich's quotes from 1996, things like that. And this is the problem I have. Not that the fact that Nathan Bucinich quoted a sexologist in the first draft of his answer to Todd Friel, and which almost seems like he was just Googling the answer. I don't know. But be that as it may, whatever the case is, you know, if you don't even know who you're quoting, but regardless of that, you're quoting from the last 20 years. Now, imagine, if you will, if you're studying history, and this is vitally important that people understand this. If you're going to study something from the 12th century, you need something as close as possible to the time period. Now, obviously, you're probably thinking, well, it's not always possible to do that. Sometimes you have to, if you're reading about the 12th century, maybe the closest thing you can get is from the 14th century, 15th century. But the further you get away from the period of history, the less accurate it gets. It's like, for example, just let's say there's a court case, and there's a murder, and you want to piece together, excuse me, everything that happened. Who do you interview? You interview eyewitnesses, people that have seen it with their own eyes. But it's not as simple as that, and it's the same with history. You can get, say, 100 people viewing a murder, but one person just say, I don't know, just say it's a mafia murder or something like that, and one person is in the mafia and has a bias in that direction, well, his testimony is probably going to be a little different to the other 99 people. But this is taken into account in court cases. Not every testimony is equally valid. And I remember, I describe this to people, especially when people want to talk about history, whatever the historical narrative that they want to give, oh, that sounds like a lot of work, they say. Yes, it is a lot of work. But what do you want? Do you want the lazy, hand-me-down history that you're given to in your public school? I mean, for example, in Ireland, you were just taught in history, oh, well, this thing happened, and this happened, then a very bad man named Hitler came along, and World War II broke out. History seems incredibly boring in secondary schools, but it's incredibly interesting. Now, that's not a reason to study it. Regardless, it's incredibly important. I can't remember who said it, but it's been described, if you don't know history, it's like being born yesterday. You don't know why there's a conflict in this part of the world and that part of the world. You must understand the history of the region. Now, is this important? And people seem to be back and forth whether, oh, it doesn't matter what the number was. Todd Friel says 3,000 in a little bit. And historians for hundreds of years have conservatively estimated that the atrocities, now, from about 606 AD to about, you could say, the end of, I mean, one stage of the Inquisition, in some ways the Catholic atrocities continued on into the 21st century. But be it as it may, you know, with the Croatian Ustasha regime in the 30s and in the 1990s with the Rwandan, there's a very good film that deals with the Rwandan genocide. It's called In the Name of God. It's actually on YouTube, so if people want to watch that, very interesting. I'd like to do more research in that, and it shows the connection with the Rwandan genocide with Belgian politicians, the Christian Democrats, which were Roman Catholics. There's pretty much a party in each country that seems to be members of the Christian Democrats, and they change their name from time to time. It's kind of an umbrella group across Europe. But when people want to study history, now getting back to my point, now, if you want to study the 12th century, and are you going to be studying things from the last 20 years? If you have your murder trial on, rather than talking to eyewitnesses, which exist, and there's much closer references from reformers from much, much earlier, and even there's atrocities and inquisitions that took place during the time of the Reformation that they wrote about, where these were not formal trials, by the way. You were accused of being a heretic. You weren't given a fair hearing. Are you kidding me? You were accused of being a Manichaean, and you were tortured often until you recanted, and then they might kill you anyway. They'll probably kill you anyway. In H. Grattan Guinness's lectures, this is from 1887. Now, this is the commonly held view. He says, no secrets could be withheld from the inquisitors. Hundreds of persons were often apprehended, in one day, and in consequence of information resulting from their examinations under torture, thousands were apprehended. Prisons, convents, even private houses were crowded with victims. The cells of the Inquisition were filled and emptied again and again. Its torture chamber was a hell. And you can go to his pictures in Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I hope, actually, Lord willing, next week, if it's possible, to have maybe Richard Bennett on the show. I was just briefly talking to him before I started recording the radio show. So I hope to have him on next week on the subject of the Inquisition, because I think it's incredibly important. Because why? Because modern evangelicals, I'm not just talking about Todd Friel, I'm not trying to pick on Todd Friel or anything like that, are downplaying the Inquisition in order for to be accepted, I can see sometimes, by modern scholarship, which disagrees with the scholarship for hundreds of years, not just on the Protestant side. You can get atheist and Catholics agreeing with this. Actually, until Vatican II, the Roman Catholic Church is quite proud and boasted about her atrocities. It's only really since Vatican II and the window dressing that came from that, it never really changed anything. But ever since Vatican II, there's been kind of a change in PR. Now, there's been various admittals here and there, but the numbers are being downplayed. Could you imagine if you did that with the Jewish Holocaust, where 6 million were murdered or killed? Imagine if you said that was 6,000. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's a number. These are our brethren in Christ, often. Now, not everybody who was killed in the Inquisition was necessarily Christian, but the vast majority of them were. Let's continue.
For being a nonconformist, not aligning with Anglican doctrine, which was somewhere between Roman Catholicism and Reformed theology. Kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Not Protestant per se, it's Anglican, the Church of England. They were willing to put dissenters away, drive them out of the country, but typically when we think about...
This is the popular narrative, and I get this from Roman Catholics. This is a Roman Catholic version of history. You talk to people, and they say, oh, well, you know, the Huguenots. Well, they murdered just as many people as they, you know, as in, they carried out atrocities themselves. Really? Where is that from? Modern histories. Now, I don't know the exact source of many of these modern histories, and I'm trying to think. Norman Dodd, in his testimony, he was part of the Reese Committee in the 1950s, and he was part of the congressional committee to investigate tax-exempt foundations in the United States. And Norman Dodd's interview, it's about an hour long, it's with G. Edward Griffin, and he talked, this is back in the 1980s, really old interview, and he talks about how the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, and other groups wanted to change American history. And they have this, they had recorded, actually, one of the people Norman Dodd sent to investigate, for example, the Carnegie Foundation, found out, actually, the person who he sent was a complete skeptic, didn't believe the Carnegie Foundation or anybody else was involved in anything that could be against the interests of the United States. Said, oh, it couldn't happen. And she went and recorded the minutes, went to the Carnegie Foundation, and from what I remember, I think she had like some kind of a nervous breakdown because she could not deal with it. And that they were actively involved in, I think it's the American History Association. So there's been groups formed in order to get their history professors and their view of history, the view of history, rewritten. Now, this whole line that, well, the Protestants just did as bad as the Catholics, and I know this is not exactly what Todd Friel is saying. He's saying it's the Anglicans, and the Anglicans persecuted as much as the Catholics. Now, there was some, but in comparison, there's no comparison between 50, 60, whatever millions, a million people were killed, and what the Anglicans did. I know I do not agree with Episcopalianism at all. It always has problems, and it's a church government I completely disagree with. I don't agree with a kind of a church where the king is over the church. These powers need to be separate to keep each other in line. The church keeps the state in line by preaching against its sin, like John the Baptist did. He lost his head over it. And in the same way, the state should promote true religion. You know, this whole idea that the only thing the state should be involved in is the second table of the law is ridiculous. It's an Anabaptist idea, sadly held by a lot of Protestants today. Right, let's continue.
The Inquisitions, we can thank the Roman Catholic Church. The popes throughout the ages continued to launch papal bulls stating, if you don't align with Roman Catholic theology, we'll get you. And so the Muslims and the Jews in the Spanish Inquisition, think of the Inquisition in two parts. You had the medieval Inquisition starting, give or take, 12th century. Some would argue about the 1150s. Others would say officially about 1223, whatever. That those were the medieval Inquisitions. And they were against whom? The Waldensians. Who were they? Peter Waldo of Italy. Think pre-Protestant. The Cathars. Who were they? French pre-Protestants that were driven out, just radically treated until about the 14th century. They were gone, otherwise they bled into the Protestant Reformation and probably became something like Lutheran. Those were the victims of the Inquisition, predominantly. Now, the Spanish Inquisition came along. That was a different deal. It did indeed become a little bit more violent. But even if you go to Wikipedia, the source of all things not conservative. 150,000 inquisitions, think trials. 150,000 trials happened. Do you know the number of people who were put to death with both the medieval and the Spanish Inquisitions, according to Wikipedia, who would be more than happy to inflate the numbers? Yeah.
Would they? Why? Why exactly would Wikipedia be more likely to inflate the numbers? Why? Why? There's no particular reason why they would want to. And actually, in fact, often you get people, I put it like this, people are often in disbelief. I don't say it could be a conspiracy, it could be somebody actively doing it, but often it can be people in complete disbelief. It's like, people couldn't do that. It's even happening today with the Jewish Holocaust. People are like, oh, how could really 6 million people have died in the Jewish Holocaust? Really? It's just, the numbers just seem staggering. Could man be that evil? As recorded in Genesis 6 and Genesis 8, I mean, could man really be that evil? Yes. Yes, they could. But, you see, the thing is, fallen man will disbelieve how wicked he is. So that's why, that's my view and why all these things are always downplayed. It's man's heart. Man, he's, through the hardness of his heart, his heart is blinded. His understanding is blinded. And he cannot see the truth. So man is not as evil as he could be. Now, some people do, some people don't downplay the numbers. Some groups are quite happy, who are not Christian, to expose the Roman Catholic Church and her atrocities. But why? You see, he's not given a reason why Wikipedia, this is a source? I mean, yeah, Wikipedia will go completely with the modern scholarship. But surely, us as Protestants, we've got hundreds of years of history books, hundreds of years of people who wrote on this topic. It's very easy to make accessible now. We've got e-books, PDFs, all these kind of things. But we have to go to modern scholarship, often of people who completely reject what the Reformers said. And, oh, well, we know so much more today. Of course we do.
Yes. 150,000 trials. How many millions of people died in the Inquisitions?
Wait.
No.
That's
no.
A trick question. I can just tell by the way you're asking it. Not 150,000.
No. 3,000. Less than 2%. No. Nobody's just...
Isn't that shocking? 2%. A 2% hit rate. Can you really believe? I don't know if anybody's done any research on the Inquisition. Because in a later clip, and I don't know if we'll get a chance to go to it, Todd Friel talks about his definition of the Inquisition. And what another show he does later. It's like the last show he does on it. Most of these clips I've gotten from his website, and they're free podcasts because everything else is by subscription. How would I put it? Imagine 2%. Can you believe that that Rome only had a 2% hit rate? That Rome laid out a trial, interviewed witnesses, gave people, he says later, about 40 days to recant. Are you serious? Has anybody actually looked, say, at Fox's Book of Martyrs, looked at the pictures, the racks, the torture instruments that they had? And often, part of the Inquisition was not just, oh, we'll give them a trial. It was basically, these are heretics. And it was declarations by the popes at various periods of time, wipe them out. They're Manichaeans. That was one of the main accusations. Even Martin Luther himself was called a Manichaean. But by the providence of God, he would have been killed himself. But by the providence of God, John Wycliffe would have been killed during his lifetime, only for the fact that when John Wycliffe, praise the Lord, that the Lord preserved him and allowed him to translate the Latin Vulgate into English. Latin Vulgate, not the best translation or anything. But many people came to Christ through the preaching of John Wycliffe and his, a lot of converts, you know, like the Lollards in England. And they were persecuted. Like, you see, 3,000. Are we saying that that's the Inquisition? That's the extent of the Inquisition? Now, this is one quote. I mean, some of these quotes I'm getting from is from David Plaisted's, and what's the title of this? 50 Million Protestants Killed. I think that's the title. Just get it there. Estimates of the number killed by the papacy in the Middle Ages and later. Now, I know Todd Friel later on says that, okay, this is more the formal Inquisition, we could say. But 3,000? Are we kidding? I mean, even secular historians have seen, okay, they're saying 100,000, 200,000, millions. You're going against hundreds of years of attestations that millions were murdered. This quote is from... There's a number here of... It's from David Plaisted's, and one of the quotations from a man named Schmucker. I'm after losing the reference. But anyway, he says, a lot of these, and this is quoted, this is the quotation of a quotation, back in 1823, and you can go to various other references that will confirm this from earlier sources prior to about 100 years ago. And it says that about 2 million lives were lost in Spain alone. Now, you might get estimates of 1 million, maybe 1 million Moors, Muslims at the time in Spain, driven out, 1 million Jews. These numbers are staggering, and we can't believe it. Why? Because it's incredible. They didn't have tanks back then. They didn't have all this kind of thing. But is that reason to disbelieve it? It just shows you how much effort Rome went to extirpate and drive out anyone who stood in her way, bloodthirsty, drunk with the blood of the saints. The important thing is here, and Lord willing, I'll get into it a while, and I've done shows before in Revelation 12, the persecution of the Christian church throughout history is recorded in the pages of Scripture. Revelation 12 especially. Now, I hope to soon maybe post the sermon I preached on the YouTube page for anybody who wants to listen to it, going through the passage. But I've also done a show on Revelation 12, and also I've done two radio shows, I think, on Revelation 12. So if people want to go to the YouTube channel and type in Revelation 12, persecution of Christian church, I think it's something like that. And it should pop up. And it's been quite a while since I did that show, but I also preached a sermon there Wednesday, so I hope to have that sermon uploaded in the not-too-distant future. I just want to quote, again, all I get in Todd Friel's, either one or two or the other, and I've been listening to his reasoning, either he's downplaying it, it's not that many, and it doesn't really matter. You know, people can disagree with it. It doesn't matter. This is serious. This is the killing of our brethren in Christ. This was written in the Reformation in Spain in 1824 by Thomas McCray. He states, in the course of the first year in which it was erected, the Inquisition of Seville, which then extended over Castile, committed 2,000 persons alive to the flames. That's already 2,000 of his number kind of wiped away. Burned as many in effigy and condemned 17,000 to different penances. According to modern computation, from the same date until 1517, the year in which Luther made his appearance, 13,000 persons were burnt alive, 8,700 were burnt in effigy, and 169,723 were condemned to penances, making all in all 191,423 persons condemned by several tribunals of Spain. This is just Spain now. In the course of 36 years. Now, Todd Friel starts his apologetic of Roman Catholicism with, it starts off in 1200s. And this is sadly what it's doing. It's doing not even what a lot of Romanists wouldn't even do. Now, there are some. I mean, even I think BBC claimed at one point in one of their documentaries that the Inquisition was just made up. And this is the direction Rome is going. The Inquisition. It never happened. And what do we think of the Holocaust deniers who deny the Jewish Holocaust? But that doesn't matter. We can just agree to disagree on this. And as he says a lot in some of the parts of the shows, history is difficult. History is difficult. yeah, history at times is difficult to map, but when you've got overwhelming evidence pointing around the same number, we don't know exactly how many people killed. Well, nobody was there with a calculator, but the numbers are staggering. The numbers are huge, and the suffering that they went through is enormous. It shows an extraordinary ignorance and willful ignorance to overlook and not look at the sources from around the time of the Reformation and beforehand. But to look at the modern era of so-called scholarship, where people often just do a Google search, is just staggering. Again, those numbers were over 36 years, what I just quoted. Already way more, and it was a reign of terror, especially if you were there. I mean, if you go to certain spheres of Christendom, they will claim the Cathars, according to modern scholarship, were dualists, were not even Christians, were, you know, the Waldensians were a suicide cult. You can find all these accusations in modern scholarship. What you do not find is proof. Because the accusations often come from the persecutors themselves. Let's continue.
Jumping for joy that 3,000 people were put on Iraq and killed. But speaking of Iraq, it's a slow month when they only...
Again, this is not a laughing matter.
They killed 3,000 Christians. September 11th was 3,000 Americans. 3,000 people...
So basically what he's saying is modern-day Iraq and September 11th... The Muslims are so much worse than anything than this branch of Christendom. This is not Christianity, by the way. The Pope is that man of sin, the son of perdition, that Antichrist, and we dealt with that in other shows if you want to look that up. The Antichrist revealed... And you can find that on either MegiddoFilms.org or on the YouTube page. I did a video on that as well. And also, when I believe the Pope became the Antichrist, or the Bishop of Rome became the Antichrist, when he declared himself to be the universal bishop, who, to quote from a prior Bishop of Rome, and you'll have to watch the show to get the full details of it, said that anyone who claims to be the universal bishop is a forerunner of Antichrist. Now, I believe that was the first one who was there, Boniface III. And, name escapes me, it was Gregory the First, Gregory the Great, he's known in history. So anyway, so this is not a branch of history, or Christendom, this is a branch of Antichrist. These are atrocities done in the name of God, but not done because the Antichrist, anti means against or in the stead of. It can mean either.
Died during the Inquisition, which lasted, let's call it, 1200, until the 19th century. That would be the 800s, 600 years. 3,000 people died.
It's just staggering, the ignorance of such a claim. From the year 1200s, and that's when the majority of killings went on. Now, you could trace it back, and some of the quotations you can get from John Dowling, if I just get in front of me here. Again, this is David Playset's really good research paper. I've gone through the majority of it, and there's good quotations in there. You don't have to take all of these conclusions, but let's agree that is in the tens of millions, at least. Somebody says to me, 20 million, I believe, well, fine. But it's huge. The number is staggering. It is not. It cannot be 3,000. Doesn't matter how you define the Inquisition. You say formal. Some people were... if you don't include the Crusades, if you don't include a bunch of things, it's still in the tens of millions. And you're giving way too much credit to that woman drunken with the blood of the saints. John Dowling states, From the birth of popery in 606 to the present time, it is estimated by careful and credible historians that more than 50 million of the human family have been slaughtered for the crime of heresy. Now, okay, the title Inquisition and the office wasn't set up until the 1200s, but for the crime, it's the same thing. Whatever you call the title, whether it's a formal or an informal trial, they were killed for the crime of heresy. And history bears that out. By popish persecutors, an average of more than, and this is staggering, 40,000 religious murders for every year of the existence of popery. Oh, well, the Muslims are much worse. Because what is Todd Friel here saying? Oh, well, this is part of Christianity, but the Muslims are so much worse. No, it's not. If we in the Protestant Reformation, in Protestantism, and professing Protestantism, could get back to confessional, biblical confessions, which all point towards the Pope as the Antichrist, the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, the Savoy Declaration, the Westminster Confession of Faith, and you go on and on. Virtually all of them state that the Pope of Rome, the office of the Pope, is that son of perdition, that man of sin, the man of lawlessness, the Pope, the Antichrist, who has the appearance of a lamb with the mouth of a dragon. He speaks forth the agenda of Satan. And it's documented as well in Revelation. Not everything in Revelation is as clear as other things. I mean, people disagree in 1,260 days, the interpretation of that in the book of Revelation, etc. But there's some things that are so clear when using consistent hermeneutics, which have been agreed for hundreds of years across, you know, until the advent of the popularity of futurism exploding. It was generally agreed. That Rome was that woman that rides the beast. And that the Pope was the Antichrist. This was agreed throughout church history. You can go back to the Waldensians, the Albigensians, the Cathars, the Bogomils. You can go on and on. Throughout the Middle Ages, they all knew who Christ was. And they knew who Antichrist was. We are so ignorant of this in the modern church. Even, there's actually an article about Rome in Revelation 17, and it's written by David Cloud on wavelife.org. David Cloud now is a dispensationalist. I completely disagree with him in a lot of history, but he documents and he shows in that article on Revelation 17 and Rome, from a historical point of view, he shows that right the way through, quotes various sources, to show that the Middle Ages, all throughout the Middle Ages, the Christians knew who the Antichrist was. No, it's interesting. He's really just doing that to point towards, he believes Rome is Revelation 17, the woman of Revelation 17. But people reject that the Pope is the Antichrist. By and large, it's just speculation. We shouldn't be talking about this. To my knowledge, actually, as well, the first sermon, and it's in Daniel, John Knox is preaching from, he preached about the Pope being the Antichrist. But wearing out the saints was one of the, if not the one of the first sermons he preached, if not the first. Anyway, let's continue with these clips from Todd Friel.
Again, nobody's suggesting this was a good thing. Nor am I nuts about defending something that happened a long time ago from a branch of Christianity that I am not a part of. But just the same, let's get a little historical perspective here. 6 centuries, 3,000 people. That's almost a daily occurrence of the number of Christians who are being...
And you see, he says later on, I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about the formal Inquisition. I'm not talking about the atrocities outside of that. And this is the thing that's staggering about this claim. Oh, I'm holding on to this 3,000 figure, and I'm going to show the clip in a minute, Lord willing, that... Oh, well, you know, I'm going to hold on to this 3,000 figure. Well, we don't really know, is what Nathan Bucinich commented on before. Well, actually, we have to get that in a minute. And I guess I'll have to finish up the show in about 15 minutes. And the witnesses of history are against this. They're just against this. This is against the overwhelming testimony of the church. And I know the claim is, we know so much more today. We think we do. We have more information. We have more claims. We have more slander. We have more... Well, do we really have more understanding? Do we really, in this day and age, are we serious? Just because we can Google an answer, or go on Google Books and find different quotations or whatever else, does not mean we understand anything. I mean, you can look up anything at the touch of your fingertips, and people claim to be experts on different topics. But have they really spent the time going through the sources? Have they even just looked at David Plaisted's article, quoting loads of different sources, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's at least in the tens of millions? Could be more than 50 million, but 50 million is like a conservative estimate. And, okay, he's claiming later on, okay, well, this is, I'm not talking about the Crusades and everything. I'm not concluding those numbers, the murdering of the Huguenots, etc. But by what he says here, clearly is, because he's comparing the Christians killed in Iraq every day and all these kind of other things that are happening and by the Muslims, and they're terrible things, of course, but he's comparing that with Roman Catholicism over the centuries. He is. Okay, I want to show the next clip for the sake of time.
It's your ridiculous statements.
Okay, this is from a different radio show. This is from the 27th of February, 2015, on Todd Friel's radio show.
Regarding the Roman Catholic religion and the Inquisitions, specifically 3,000 murdered and because they were not practicing the religion correctly. Well, yeah. I think what I said was Wikipedia even reports 3,000. I have a feeling it was slightly higher, but just the same. 3,000 is what is the number that I used. Your statements are incorrect. I won't argue those facts here, as the truth is easily obtainable, and you have doubtless been provided the correct information by now. Well, I think I have been, actually. A number of people sent in that concern that I was way off on the numbers for the Inquisition. This is another one that...
Which he was. And this is the thing. It's not like... There's two things you can do here. You can either say, no, you're definitely wrong, and look, anybody can do that and do it incorrectly and make mistakes and say, oh, well, you know, loads of people write in, and look, there's been times when people have written in to me, and there's a way to do it, I will say this, if you're going to write into anybody in a radio show or anything else or talk to a Christian pastor, you should be respectful, you should say, you know, maybe you should look at this and everything else, don't like kind of just attack, you know, that's not the best way to get heard. But anyway, be that as it may, he has been told repeatedly, and he's been pointed towards the sources, earlier sources. And if he's not qualified, and I mean, what do I mean by qualified? I don't mean a college degree or anything like that, but what I mean by qualified is done the research. You see, he has put himself out there because he's on a Christian radio station and saying, oh, well, look, at you might claim, okay, here's the number just I'm going with. Oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. You're making claims, and many people are influenced by you, Todd Friel.
Came in. I thought, Tony, I mean, to be a person who walked as a Christian and had good discernment. However...
Something's
caused me
great
concern. One of these is getting his facts on the Inquisition from Wikipedia. There's a big difference between 3,000 and 50 million. Well, a little bit, but not if you're in the government. That's actually...
They pretty much equal.
Nothing to be concerned about. If this is the extent of his research on topics he presents in his program, I will consider going elsewhere to hear about Christian current events. Okay, so I got enough of that I said, I did my homework, but I will check with a history professor, Professor Nathan Musnitz of the, and you have to say it that way, by the way, otherwise, I think it's some sort of German thing, and he gets a little upset. Nathan Musnitz of the Master's Seminary. I sent him a note and I said, okay, what are the statistics on the Inquisition? His response. Hi, Todd.
So basically, he's saying, okay, rather than going to the earlier sources, I am going to go with a history professor. Not anything necessarily wrong with that, but is this like, oh, well, this is the final word? Sadly, Nathan, who... Look, I've used some of Nathan Bisinich's research before. I've quoted him. He was one of the audio quotes on Of Chaos and Confusion in the Modern Church. His research on the charismatic movement is excellent. He does. He's got a very good paper. He's got a thesis on the patristic fathers and speaking in tongues, and it's really, really good, just proving that, well, they didn't speak in tongues. And he's got quotation after quotation. If anybody's doing research into the charismatic movement, a topic that I hope to return to one day, every week that seems to pass by, it seems to get a little further away, unfortunately. I'd really love to return to covering that. And Lord willing, in a week or two, who knows, we'll see. And his paper on that is really, really good. I mean, I would recommend anybody doing research in the charismatic movement, on tongue speaking, etc., I would check out Nathan Bisinich's article on that. Really, really top notch. And I've listened to a number of his lectures. He's really, really good on that topic. He's really put the time into that topic. He hasn't put the time into this. And you're better off just saying, I don't know, rather than just going, oh, well, this person says this, this person says that. There's plenty of things I don't know about and I stay away from and I don't cover it in the radio show. Now, to be fair to Nathan, he's not getting on the radio. He's not talking about it. He's just giving a response back saying, oh, well, you know, modern scholars agree with you, Todd. Now, he's had to retract one of the quotations. One of the quotations given here, he writes to Todd and he mentions a number of 125,000 dying in prison as a result of torture and maltreatment. And he quotes from Joseph Perez. And, yeah, some of the people he quotes from. I'll give you one of the quotes. George Riley Scott, who turned out later to be a sexologist, but he retracts it later. Laurent, the Roman Catholic writer who for years acted as a secretary of the Spanish Inquisition, estimated from 1481 to 1517 that during a period of less than 40 years, 13,000 people were burnt alive, 17,000 were condemned to different forms of punishment. These figures are probably under rather than over the true mark, considering... Basically, he's saying, oh, we don't really know. So, now I want to go to the next one where he's updated it and he takes back that one because, look, regardless of whether he was a sexologist or whatever came to pass later on and he seemed to be a little bit embarrassed about that, the issue is here, why do we need to go, again, if you're doing a murder trial, are you going to listen to secondary sources, source of a source of a source of a source, or are you going to listen to whatever the closest thing is, the closest witness to the actual incident? And of course, you go as close as possible. Now, it's, of course, it's a little difficult when you go back hundreds and hundreds of years, but this number and the amount of atrocities and the killings of the Inquisition, etc., and so on, have been recorded, estimated, and we know that they're in the tens of millions. We know this. Now, Nathan says at the end of his... Finally, I might add that being careful with historical statistics regarding the Inquisition or anything else does not make someone Catholic-friendly. It simply makes you responsible and credible. In the end, being honest with the historical data is better witness than the gospel than a trumped-up statistic. Trumped-up statistic? John Dowling, trumped-up statistic? Now, again, I think this is more of a symptom. I don't think Nathan Kucinich is anyway the problem. We all make mistakes. But I mean, you're stating that quotations from John Wesley is a trumped-up statistic. Now, not the biggest fan of John Wesley at times, because he was an Arminian. But be that as it may, numbers that have been given across the board for hundreds and hundreds of years by Protestant historians and have not been contradicted by any early sources. We have things from 2003. He goes further. There's an update on this. It goes from Cecil Roth, 1964 reprint. I mean, reprint in 1986, but it's still, it was written back in the 1960s. So basically, he gives various numbers, and it's probably in the thousands rather than the millions. Now, for the sake of time, I'm just going to summarize. In the third clip I was going to play, Topfield kind of makes a distinction. I'll actually play it just so I'm not misrepresenting him in any way, shape, or form. I've tried to listen to these clips a good bit, and if I'm being completely honest, I find the show...
Radio Bobbin 28.
Incredibly difficult to listen to. It's all over the place. It's scattered. It's very off-the-cuff statements. I don't know if he's researched a lot of the things he talks about. I don't know if he... It's very just jokey, and... I don't mind having a laugh. I don't... You know, if people know my family or know friends of mine, I like... having a joke, a fun, things like that. But you don't joke about things like this. And you cannot, in your Christian testimony, be taken seriously if you're constantly acting like a clown. You can't. There are times, okay, we can have fun, we can have a laugh. A merry heart maketh good like a medicine. I think it's important that we laugh, we're joyful, the Christians are not. But just joking and laughing about everything, there are things we need to be dead serious about. I know people have told me several times, people have often listened to me on the show and then met me in public, and I'm very much different. I mean, everybody go, Paul, is that the same person on the radio show as in on, you know, like I'm so much more serious on the radio show. Why? Because anything I cover on the radio show is really, really serious. It's really, really important. And it takes a seriousness. I mean, this is the Inquisition. It's not a joke. It's not some kind of thing you can laugh about with your friends. There's something, there has to be sobriety to many things we talk about. A reverence, it has to be seen in our attitude, and if we're too childish to do that, it's a bad testimony. It's a bad testimony. So I'm going to play, this is the last clip, where he kind of, you could say, clarifies his statements a little bit more. This is from the 2nd of March.
To beep 1-877-282-BEEP. So my buddy, I was going to call him my buddy. Professor Nathan Boosnitz from the Master's Seminary, I asked him a question because I wanted to make sure that I understood everything rightly. So I sent Pastor Professor
Boosnitz. So you talked to Professor Boosnitz about immigration, did you?
No, but I'll bet if I did.
He'd straighten you out.
He probably would, frankly. And he'd straighten me out, too. Send the emails. Beep talk, that is just fine. I asked him very precisely about another little theory that I have. Forget my immigration theory for a moment.
Already forgotten.
Here's my other theory. That it seems history is a tricky little thing. And sometimes confusion can happen because of a lack of precision in words. Just like with the immigration issue, when we use a big umbrella term like illegal aliens and we kind of mangle all together criminals.
I think Jeff Bridges.
People on the dole.
Well, actually, we just pretty much mangled together all the people who are here.
Or Robert Hayes, if you want to talk about the Starman TV show. He was here illegally, and he was an alien.
Jeff Bridges
is
doing a commercial now.
Legal, but
Superman?
Bridges?
Now, again, this is too many tangents, and I get into tangents as well at times, but it gets borderline ridiculous, but we'll continue.
Superman, illegal immigrant. Right there.
He's got very long,
he's
scraggly
illegal
hair.
Alien.
Why do I feel like this is just getting away from me? he's on the TV promoting you can build your own website, and he's playing the piccolo or something.
Yeah.
The pan flute or whatever that
something
thing
about
is.
The dream with Jeff Bridges thing?
Yeah, so
Jeff
that you can
something,
guided meditation with music and musings for me so you can fall asleep at night. Looks so harmless, feels so Buddhist. Apparently... His first sign-up was Shirley MacLaine, so that maybe gives you some indication of the direction of that poor, and we dealt with that. Who was responsible for the Crusades? It was the Roman Catholic Church. And we need to understand that it was in response to centuries of Islamic aggression.
It's amazing. I mean, like, okay, there was Islamic aggression. Yeah, there has been since, I don't know, the 7th century, et cetera, and so on. But the Crusades, to say that another show, I can't remember when it was. I think it was from like a year ago or 2 years ago. I can't remember when I saw it. His view of the Crusades was all, well, part of it was, look, it's about holy war. Two religions believe in holy war. Islam and Roman Catholicism. That this kind of, there's the evil, we go fight that. Now, there is a biblical line of defense. Don't get me wrong, there is a role for the military in the state. There is all these kind of things. I mean, Christ did not tell the soldier who asked him, he didn't say to him, leave the military or anything like that. He said, serve. I'm paraphrasing here, but, be content with your wages. And, deal truthfully. There is a legitimate place for all these things. But Rome believes in domination of the whole world because she believes that the Vicar of Christ, according to her, is the Pope. And by virtue of that, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the last supreme, or the universal king of all the earth. This is what Rome believes. And this is not, there was an aggression from the Muslims, but this is ultimately the reason why Rome wants to conquer and invade and use armies who are under her control. This is why.
And then the other issue of the Inquisitions came up, and the number of people who were actually executed by an Inquisition. And as we stated originally, that a lot of people throughout the Middle Ages were absolutely affected, treated horribly, killed, set on fire, dispersed by the Roman Catholic Church to the tune of millions. But the Inquisitions, with an actual trial, where you were confronted with a judge, a tribunal.
Where did this happen? Where were there tribunals and judges? See, this is the thing. It's completely different. The first clip I played from you for... I don't want to click over because I'm going to lose my spot in this clip. But that was from a number of weeks ago when he's talking about the immigration issue and the comments from President Obama about the... that people should say nothing about about what Islam is doing because of, Christianity had the Crusades and all this kind of thing. Todd Friel comes back and says, from the 1200s to about 1900s, there was 3,000 killed. And he said that. But now he's redefining. Oh, no. Well, of course, there could have been extra millions. There could have been millions there and millions dispersed and affected and killed. But that's not the Inquisition. If you go back and listen to his earlier shows, it's completely different. Now, again, we should never, what he's saying is true, and this is how he defines it. Okay, it's a redefinition of what Protestants have always written about and other people write about. I mean, even if you want to go to Wikipedia again, it's the judicial means used in the Catholic Church in suppression of heresy. So, to say that this has nothing to do with the suppression of heresy for the crime of heresy, I mean, the official office of the Inquisition was set up in the 1200s, yes. But there was Inquisition-like persecution for the crime of heresy, which is basically the same thing, going back to the birth of the popes. And there wasn't as many between 606 and 1200s as there was after that. Spearheaded by the Dominican Order and then spearheaded by the Jesuits. The numbers are staggering. Why was the decree sent out? Why was there 300,000 to 400,000 Protestants slaughtered in the 1640s in Ireland when the population in about a 30-year period dropped from 2 million to about 1.7 million in about a 30-year period, around that period of time? This is when Oliver Cromwell came over to stop the bloodshed. But people don't tell you that, at least in Ireland. Now, it is just staggering that this claim is being made, and it's like, oh, well, okay, there could be millions killed, but in a trial. This is complete fiction. Rome accused you, tortured you, and if you recanted, you were still killed. My own theory, and I have to go back and do a lot of the research again on the various reasons behind it. I believe they believe they were saving the soul of a person, of a heretic. They were saying, oh, well, he recanted, let's kill him now. We'll send him, he won't go into the fires of hell. They hate the scriptures so much. They hate the true gospel so much. They dug up John Wycliffe and burned his bones and pronounced him into the flames of eternal fire. Because why? They believe the Pope is the Vicar of Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, by virtue of that. This can be verified, checked out by several sources. But no, we want to listen to the modern guys from Yale University and other places like that on history. We want unbelievers and sexologists, and, well, even though Nathan Bacinich did retract that. We have to realize, right, the world does not want to sympathize with the Christian Church. It does not want to. Why would it want to? Why would it... See, the world wants to look at Christianity. It's, oh, look at the Crusades. Look at the Inquisition. That is Christianity. It's just as bad as Islam. No, that's Roman Catholicism. And it's worse than Islam. And Islam is not great either. Islam is violent, bloodthirsty, and it is... I mean, it follows after the Prophet Muhammad. Not really my area, but who is identified in Revelation 17 and 18? Revelation 12, that woman who persecuted the saints. Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame him, this is the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Are we going to betray them and downplay this number? I don't care how popular anybody is. You must be faithful. The scriptures, the word of God, and how faithful we are to the gospel is what's important. Not our popularity, not how many people listen to our radio show? Is there anything else? Are we faithful to Christ? And I pray that, I don't know, somebody like Tom Friel, who's got a huge influence, will repent of this claim. Maybe he's wrong. And make his show a lot more serious. Because he's dealing with serious topics. You can't make... I hear this thing about satire. It's just silliness. These are serious issues that deserve seriousness. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, if I come on this radio show dressed in a clown suit, you're not going to take me seriously, are you? Those who are watching on McGill TV. Of course not. So why, how are we going to take somebody seriously who's constantly joking about things as serious as the Inquisition? We need to have a sobriety about it. The problem with modern Christians often is we joke about everything. And we can't be serious about anything. We need to be serious, especially about something as grave as this.
There were witnesses that were called, some of them kind of shady, some of them okay. And if you were found guilty, you were given 40 days to sit in prison and think about it and potentially recant for your theological error. And then you could be set free or you would be killed. And we stated that that numbered in the thousands. Trials with executions. Trials with that's an inquisition. It seems, however.
But he was comparing it with the deaths of 9/11 and the amount of people killed by the Roman Catholic Church, as we saw in the first clip. But be that as it may, it's not true. There's loads of people, millions of people murdered for the crime of heresy. Now, if you want to separate the formal Inquisition from the non-formal Inquisition, it's still in the tens of millions. It's still in the tens of millions. If you are going against the great cloud of witnesses over the last couple of hundred years, you need to show conclusively why. I just pray this has been some benefit to some people. Pray for the radio show. Lord willing, actually, just give you a bit of information as well. We are moving, myself and my family, we're moving into a new house in the next few weeks. So, Megiddo Radio, Megiddo Films, will be in a new premises, which would be great because myself and my family, we basically live in one-bedroom apartment and everything's kind of done in the one room at the moment. And I'm hoping to improve the quality of, you could say, the surroundings, etc., and even improve stuff for the Megiddo TV audience and things like that. Pray for the work here, the research, etc., and so on. And thank you all for those who listen, who've been sending emails, etc., and so on. Keep the next few shows in your prayers, and that we can cover this issue. It's an incredibly serious issue with sobriety and with the gravity. It's serious. We need to take this seriously. And the great cloud of witnesses. There is no getting away from that Rome is that woman drunken with the blood of the saints. And she is that harlot, that apostate church who persecutes the woman that keeps the people of God who keep the commandments. Because they've been regenerated and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening in. May God bless you all. Talk to you next week.